So there's a class for everybody if you want to go out and enjoy that, or if those of you who want to stay in the auditorium, that's wonderful as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you'll take your Bibles and turn there. We had a little break last week. Pastor Josh preached out of Revelation. Enjoyed his message, enjoyed the service. But this one I had prepared before I left. Now, and I hadn't preached it like I did all week this week to myself. But I get what Paul was talking about here. And maybe some of you don't. Because in chapter 3, you're going to see great insight into the Apostle Paul and his love for people. You know, he really wasn't the pastor of this church. He was only there for 3 months. So I guess you could call him as he went. But he went there and he went into the synagogues. He went to the different places. People came. They got saved. Now, make no mistake, he did preach to them. But there was Silas and Timothy there as well as they taught them. But so Paul, you can't look at this as a pastor's heart. You need to look at this as a Christian's heart with a love for people. And that's the kind of heart that you need. And that I began to see this a little bit as I was gone last week from the service. You know, maybe I compared our service to my sister's church service and different things. And I shouldn't have done that. But I missed this place. And again, I would get a text that this person, Dick was having surgery, and this person was sick, and this person went to the hospital, and that's when Patty went to the hospital, and different things like this, and it made me think of the Apostle Paul, and how much he loved, and what I want you to see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, you'll see the heartbeat toward this church that Paul had. But then in 11, 12, and 13, you'll see the prayer of Paul. Boy, I tell you what, he taught me how to pray for you. Because I pray for you the same way he prayed for this church. And I think it's a good lesson you can learn, because many people ask me that question. How do I pray, Pastor? Well, Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And Paul gave me a prayer, but I want to start here. So in chapters 1 and 2 of Thessalonians, as those of you who've been here with this study, and Paul reveals his true heart for the Thessalonians. He appreciated that. I mean, they got it. It didn't just go into their mind, it got into their heart. There was a transformation that took place. And he appreciated their testimony. Not only was it in Thessalonica, but it was all the way up to Macedonia. People knew it and had heard about this church and the change and what was taking place. Paul was encouraged by their change and what had happened. And he loved this church. And he longed to be back there with them. But if you remember, I gave you, I believe, the reason. And I don't know this. I can't tell you this is gospel for sure. But I gave you the reason why he left after only 3 months. I think that the thugs came in and the different people came in and caused a great persecution. They went to the house of Jason, and you'll find that in chapter 1 and 2. Then he went to the house of Jason. I think they made a bond and agreement with him. If Paul and Timothy and Silas would leave, we'll back off on some of the persecution. And I think they put up their houses and their businesses and asked Paul to leave. And Paul loved them so much that he was willing to leave because he didn't want to harm them in any way. And he called that was straight from Satan. And Satan is the one who kept him and made him leave, but Satan was the one he couldn't come back, because if Paul were to come back, it would go against the bond, and those people would lose their businesses, they would lose their homes. And so Paul desperately longed to see them, but for their sake, he just couldn't. And so that's what we pick up in chapter 3, that he was going crazy. Look at it. It says, wherefore, in verse 1, when we could no longer forbear, honestly, that's Paul, but he includes Timothy and Silas in it, but Paul could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, you just read that by yourself. You don't understand completely what Paul's saying there. That's why I want to take time to go through this passage and show you the heartbeat of Paul. Because that's the heartbeat we need for the local church. That's the heartbeat we need for each other. If we can love each other like Paul loved these folks, what a difference it would make. So in chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 3, he begins with wherefore. When you see a wherefore, you always look at what it's there for. And it's in response to the final verses in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He called the Thessalonians his hope and his joy. Ye are our glory and our joy. You're the ones when we get to heaven, God's going to, you are our jewels. You are our crown jewels. You are the reason that I live, and you are my hope. You are my glory. You are my joy. So we know that, how much he loved and appreciated the Thessalonians. So he says, wherefore, because of that, when we could no longer forbear, we can no longer, Paul tells them that you are my glory and joy, but I can no longer tolerate the distance from his spiritual children and the constant lack of knowledge of their condition. And again, it was so easy. I knew the condition of this church a little bit because you know why? People text me. Paul couldn't get a text. He couldn't get a phone call. He couldn't get an email. I suppose somebody could have, but Paul was on the move so much that he left Thessalonica and went right to Athens, and he was in a ministry there. He was in a real battle there with the Athenian people, that there was no way. And so Paul says, I just, as he writes this back, he's writing this. And guess where he's writing this letter from? Corinth. And if you remember from our study of chapters 1 through 16 of 1 Corinthians, Corinth was a problem church. He dealt with problems. So why he's there, he's almost, and I don't know if Paul ever got discouraged, but he's concerned about how the Corinthian church had drawn away from God and the problems they were having and the wickedness that was taking place in the church. He began to think about the Thessalonica church. How wonderful they were. And that's why he said, because you are my, when we could no longer forbear, he says, I just couldn't stand being away from you because I don't know what condition you're in. Because when he left, I think the persecution backed off somewhat, but not completely. And so Paul's wondering, did they survive? Did they make it? Are they still meeting as a church? Are they still praising the Lord? And Paul didn't know. Persecution can do some horrible things to people. You know, if great persecution came upon the church today, Faith Baptist Church, I know there's people that would be gone. They would just not come. And guests and visitors wouldn't come. And Paul was wondering, is this church, and that's why he said, when we could no longer forbear, he, excuse me, even though that Paul was there in Athens, he just was concerned. But while in Athens there, Paul was facing his own trials. That's what it says. We thought it to be good to be left at Athens alone. See, he didn't. When he went to Athens, he left there. He didn't even take Timothy and Silas with him. Now, they came and joined him at one point. And then he sent him away again. But he felt it best just to be left alone because he wanted to think about Timothy and Silas. They didn't need every place they went with him because every place Paul went, guess what happened? There were problems. People hated him. The Jews and the synagogues hated him. The Gentiles hated him. And the Gentiles really hated him because the Jews got the Gentiles to hate him. Everywhere he went, and you know, I've read it many times, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead. Everywhere he went, he had problems. And so I think he went to Athens, he said, I'm alone. I went there alone because I didn't want to bring them here. And again, he ran into problems in Athens because they were worshiping an unknown God. And then this morning in Sunday school, he hit him with creation and began at creation, how they must understand what creation is. But I guarantee you, now some of the people asked him to speak again because they'd heard something new, especially when he told them about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world and then raising again on the third day. They'd never heard anything like that. Some of the theologians there, the philosophers wanted him to come back, but boy, it created a real stir in Athens. And so what Paul is saying there, You know, I thought it to be good to left alone. I don't want to always go and have problems and bring all my problems upon other people. That was Paul's heart. That was what Paul's trying to communicate there. That his affection was so strong for them that he could no longer endure it, even though, you know, he was going through his own problems. He was focused on the Thessalonians. And let me just stop here for a minute. That is a wonderful thought. Listen, each one of you have your own problems. I know that. Each one of you are going through, some of you are going through greater physical battles than others, but some of you have financial concerns. You have work concerns. You have retirement concerns. You have family concerns. Each one of you have your own concerns. I understand that. But the Apostle Paul put his battles behind him and focused on the Thessalonican church. His love was so great for them that he put their needs above his own needs. I tell you what, when the church of Jesus Christ learns to do that, put others' needs before their needs, you'll see an explosion in the church. But you know what? I really believe Christianity has become self-centered. It's become all about me. I want to be. I want. It's no longer others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. We've lost that. And so the first thing I want to see about the Apostle Paul, that's what he's trying to communicate in this first verse. He said, I can't stand being away. I can't stand not knowing. I mean, are they doing well? Is the church still functioning? Or has the persecution got to you? Has your numbers dwindled and you're down to very little? Are you still searching the truths that I left you? Now, they didn't have the Word of God back then. But I imagine Paul wrote down and gave them some truths from God's Word that God had given him. That he hadn't even written down because they came in the letters that he sent to all the other churches. But God gave Paul some insights. Were they still looking at those principles? Were they still taking time to look at those? See, it was Paul's desire to help the Thessalonians fulfill God's calling in their lives to be loyal to the truth and experience the spiritual maturity in their lives and see God's wonderful blessing upon them. That was Paul's whole desire here. So he put himself, his problems behind him, and was concerned because he wanted them to be grown. He wanted them to be maturing so they could see the spiritual blessing of God. You know, I've watched this happen. You know, at this church, more than any church I've ever been in, and again, somebody will show up and say, I was saved. Just last week, somebody showed up for church. They came back again on Wednesday night, and he said, I got saved 20 years ago in this church, but I haven't been in church since. And he said, this is what he said to me. He said, I just floundered. My life just floundered. Yeah, there wasn't that blessing of God because there wasn't that maturing in Jesus Christ. Our missionary talked about discipleship. Why do you want these people to be discipled? Why do you want them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to receive the blessing of God? Listen, if those of you who are not walking with God and not spending time in God's Word, not growing in the grace and knowledge, not maturing in your Christian life, you don't understand the blessing of God. The blessing of God is an amazing thing, but it's just not giving you money. It's just not supplying you with everything you want. It's just not making your life simple. The blessing of God is God becoming real to you. That God becomes a reality, that he's there, that he hears all I say. He knows all I do. He knows all that I think. He blesses me in ways that I don't even understand. He blesses me in my family. He blesses me in my finances. He blesses me in all those things. But it's just the blessings that come from God. And I think there's too many Christians today that are just playing church, playing Christianity, but you've missed the blessing of God. Oh, you'll see it one day. And I think there's a lot of people who are going to get to heaven that they're going to sit back and say, boy, I blew it. Is this what it could have been? Is this what I've missed out on all these years? Yeah. Because it's only as you mature in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's as you learn the doctrines, you learn the scriptures. It's as you focus. That's why I'll mention this again, but I encourage those of you, because I do this, and I'd encourage some of you to do this, but don't just read the Bible to read the Bible so you can say you read the Bible. Read the Bible to learn the Bible. That's why I suggest get a commentary. I happen to use J. Vernon McGee. Is he perfect? No. He wasn't even Baptist. He was Presbyterian. So I disagree with some of the things he says, but he makes me think. And I love reading the Old Testament scriptures, and then all of a sudden I read his commentary on it, and it makes me think, and I said, wow, I never saw that before. That is really neat. And so when I read the Bible through, I read it through not to just read it through. Listen, I could read the Bible through every year, and I've read the Bible through 75, 80 times. But the older I get, the more I want to know. Because the more you know about Scripture, the more you know about God, and the more you know about God, the greater the blessing it is. See, that's why Paul longed to know what was going on in Thessalonica. It wasn't just because of the fellowship, even though they probably had some wonderful fellowship. It probably wasn't because of just the meals that they had, that he could get a home-cooked meal in a place where he was, I believe his wife had passed away and he traveled around and he probably didn't eat very, very well. But he longed to be with them because he wanted to see him grow, because he wanted them to see. Now, I know some of you won't understand this, but that's why I really do take time to study God's Word. Because I want to present to you God's Word. I want you to understand this passage. Because the more you understand about God's Word, the more you see God. And the more you see God, the more you'll get the blessing of God. And that's my desire for you, that you receive the blessing of God. You see God as He is. Because He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's an eternal God. He's the creator. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing God. And He loves me. And He hears my prayer. And He listens to me. A God that awesome cares about me. I see that now. I didn't see it growing up, but I see it now. And I think that's what some of you are missing. You're not seeing that God truly does care for you, because you're not maturing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're not spending time in God's Word. To a lot of people, to a lot of Christians, churches just, you know, if I can make it, I make it. And if I don't, I don't. I got other things going on. I've got a busy life. And that's true. But you're not growing. You'll not see God as God truly is. And you'll miss out on the blessing of God in your life. Listen, I could be sick. I could be poor. I could be miserable. But I would still see the blessing of God. And I would find the goodness of my God, that He cares for me, that He knows me and He loves me, and that I'm special to Him. That's the attitude Paul had. I want to be with the, you have to understand why Paul wanted to be there. He said, I could no longer forbear. I can't take it any longer. I got to know, are you growing? I got to know, are you? Because I want to know that the blessing of God is upon you. Paul was not concerned about his own success or his reputation, nor was he preoccupied with his own trials. For he was deeply concerned about the spiritual condition of the Thessalonican church, which he loved very dearly. Now in verse 2, he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to establish and comfort you concerning the faith. Paul in these verses shows a selfless commitment to the needs of others. He thought it good to be left alone at Athens. I told you that. Why? The Apostle Paul uses the we, but if you look at the context, it had nothing to do with the we. It's Paul made this decision. Paul was left alone in Thessalonica when he came to Athens without Timothy and Silas. They joined him, but now he sent him out again after a short period of time, and he sent Timothy to Thessalonica because he wanted to be, if he couldn't go, because he was going to create problems for those people who put up their houses and businesses for him to leave. If he couldn't go, at least Timothy could go to Thessalonica and just encourage them. Maybe be a blessing to them. And it doesn't say for sure here, but I know because of my research that Paul sent Silas up to Macedonia. And what was in Macedonia? The church of Philippi that Paul loved very much. So think about it a second. Because my sister and I talked about that on the mission field. They rarely support a missionary now that doesn't go in a group because of the encouragement. For a missionary to go out on the field alone, it can be very tough. It can be very discouraging. And so my sister said they most of their missionaries go out in a team. And they take out many teams that go out and they work together as a team. And I'm not opposed to that. The problem is if you can send out a lot of missionaries, that's okay. But if you send out one missionary, you got to send out two or three at a time. And it's tough to do. But I think it's a good idea because the encouragement is there. The help's there. You know, just think about it. You know, if I'm gone, I've got Pastor Josh that can fill the pulpit for me. I got Pastor Smith that would come anytime to this church. He loves preaching to this church. And you enjoy him as well. But think about if you're a missionary. Going to be gone for a week. Who do you get to preach? They're few and far in between. It's very difficult. And so Paul would have loved to have Silas and Timothy there in Athens with him. You think they could have been an encouragement to him? Timothy was the greatest encouragement to the Apostle Paul of any of the preacher boys that he had. Timothy was, and you'll see, I'm going to tell you what he said about Timothy in just a second. He loved Timothy. I'm sure Timothy could have been awesome for him in Athens and helped him to get the gospel out even greater than what Paul did. But Paul was so concerned about the Thessalonians. He said, Timothy, you go back. I can't, but you can. Go be an encouragement to them. Go to our brothers and our sisters and that we've established and comfort them with their faith. Teach them. Make sure they're following the scriptures. And then he sent Silas to Philippi to do the same thing. That's the heartbeat of Paul. Paul thought it best to send his colleagues to Thessalonica and to Philippi to help the believers in those places that may be struggling. It's that kind of sacrifice that indicates the strength of Paul's concern for people. The kind words that he used for Timothy, and that's why I think he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica and Silas to not because Thessalonica was better than Philippi. Paul loved both of his churches that he helped establish. But Timothy was his bread and butter. Timothy was the joy. Look what he says. And Timothy, he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel. First of all, he called him his brother, showing the affection. Second, Paul refers to Timothy as a minister of God. He called him that because Timothy faithfully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he would help to establish others and give comfort concerning their faith. He was minded to go there and just not fellowship with them, not to go out and play disc golf with them, which I did with my sister's church with a lot of the guys down there. But it was to go and make sure they were growing in the grace and knowledge. Paul knew Timothy would do this. Timothy was sent to strengthen and encourage the believers in the faith. This also revealed to the Thessalonians Paul's love and his sacrifice in sending Timothy to them when Timothy could have been used greatly in Athens. Again, the support, he wanted to support them with the intent of establishing them. Strong faith always results in knowing all that God has revealed. And true faith has a firm foundation when it's based upon sound doctrine. No faith can be strong without knowledge and the understanding of truth. And that was Paul's concern. They'll not receive the blessing of God. That church will not go forward unless they understand the principles from God's word. And that's why Paul wanted to go, but he knew he couldn't. He said, I'm dying to know, has the church survived? Has the church done well? And he said, you know what, it goes against, but I don't think they'll have a problem with Timothy coming in. So he sent Timothy because he knew Timothy would carry on his heartbeat. Timothy would come alongside the Thessalonians and motivate him to live that sound doctrine. His task was to make their foundation solid and unwavering so they could have the confidence to apply the truth. Now in verses 3 and 4, it's interesting what Paul says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now Paul stops and says, as he's writing this letter, he says, I know persecution's happening, because it's going to happen. And it's happening if you're living for Jesus Christ. Now, if they're not living for Jesus Christ, I don't think they're going to be persecuted. I think the thugs are going to leave. I think the Jews in the synagogue are going to be okay with it. Because this church isn't growing. The people aren't growing, sharing their faith. Paul was concerned about that. Because he said, if you are growing, and you are living for Jesus Christ, guess what? Expect persecution. It's going to come. Paul reminded them that all believers should expect tribulations and persecution because they have been destined to that in this lifetime. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll show you a verse in just a second. But if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, guess what? You will suffer persecution. You will suffer trials. So you want to know if you're living godly in Christ Jesus? Are you suffering any trials? Are you suffering any persecution? That's a good model. Because Paul says, I told you this when I was there before. Expect tribulation. And expect persecution. Now, persecution in Paul's day was a lot different than persecution today. You know, we'd go out, I've told you this story before, we'd go out and I'd take probably 30 to 50 people out every week, door to door in the Detroit area. I remember that group of teenagers that came to me, there were two or three in the group and they came to me just bawling. They were girls and they were just bawling. I said, what happened? He said, that guy, he was rude and mean to us. And then he took the gospel tract we handed him. He tore it up into little pieces and he threw it in our face. That bothered them. You know, and I thought about it. That is persecution to a point. But not what Paul faced. We've been very blessed in America to live in America where America has the freedoms to worship as we choose to worship. We really don't know what persecution is. But there should be somebody out there that criticizes you because of your faith. There should be somebody out there that criticizes you because you gave them a gospel tract. There should be somebody out there that criticizes you because you invited them to church. There should be somebody out there that criticizes you because you won't go to the bar. Or you may not go to a certain movie. Or you won't do this in your home. Or you won't go to this place. There should be some amount of that in the world today, because all those who live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, will suffer persecution. If you sit back and say, well, I'm having no problems. Nobody criticizes me. You know, you have to answer the question. Now, I'm not going to answer it for you, but you have to answer the question. Are you living godly in Christ Jesus? See, Paul says if you remained like you were when I was there for 3 months with you, you got to expect persecution because it's going to come. Paul's statement was a reminder to the Thessalonians and really to all Christians that those who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul has simply reminded them that he had told them in advance they were going to suffer earthly affliction and persecution. Paul reminded that. Remember, I told you that you were going to do that. They don't like Satan doesn't like what's happening here. Satan doesn't like the gospel being spread. Satan doesn't want anything to do with this. And so Satan's going to come down upon you. And Paul says, praise God when persecution comes. Because that means you're living godly in Christ Jesus. But you have to examine your own life. And that's what he's telling the Thessalonians. Now, he doesn't know if they're even living for the Lord. He doesn't even know if they're continuing on. He doesn't even know if the persecution's continually. But what he's saying there, if you are living godly for Christ Jesus, expect the persecution. If you are handing out a gospel tract to somebody, expect them to mock you. Expect people to criticize you when you won't go to the places they go to or fellowship with them because you don't agree with what they're doing. You can expect that, folks. But you know, the typical Christian today says, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, you don't offend anybody. It's the gospel that offends. We just don't live out the gospel. So we don't offend anybody. It's difficult in this world to live for Jesus Christ and not offend somebody. That's what Paul's saying. If you are living for Jesus Christ, the persecution's going to come. So, verse 5, real quickly. He sends Timothy, for this cause, when I couldn't take it any longer, Paul said. I had to know. He said, I sent a text. An email? I made a phone call. No. He sent Timothy. When I could no longer, I sent to know your faith. I wanted to know. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. And he said, my labor would be in vain. I got to know. He sent Timothy to find out about their faith. And he sent the apostle Timothy. When he sent Timothy, the apostle Paul did not know whether the Thessalonians had weathered the storm of trials and tribulations and persecutions. You know, Paul had constant care for his churches. You know, in Acts chapter 20 sums him up a little bit, for I know this, that after my departing, he said, grievous wolves were entering in among you and not sparing the flock. He knew that was going to happen. Every place he went, it happened. I mean, Satan would just come in after those new Christians and come in after the church and create problems. And he says, also of your own selves, men shall arise. Happened in Corinth. Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. He says, I know that's going to happen. And so, Paul loved this church. He loved these people. He wanted them to see the spiritual blessing of God. He wanted them to grow in their faith, but were they? So he sent Timothy. He sent Timothy, but I like what he said in this verse, and I'll give you this and I'm done. He said, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and my labor is in vain. See, the devil is the one who is against the cause of Jesus Christ. And the devil uses really three basic approaches. His first assault comes when the gospel is being presented in to prevent people from believing. That's his first desire. Just to keep people from believing. Just to put it in their minds that church is a weird church. That church, you know, they're just weirdos there. See, that's why in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul wrote this, in whom the God of this world, Satan, doesn't own this world, belongs to God, but he's the God of this world. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He can't blind the minds of those that believe, but he can blind the minds of those that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God should shine unto them. You know, I ask myself this question, why aren't people getting saved with all that's happening in the world? You know, when eggs are $8 a dozen, when gas prices are $4, when it's hard to live from paycheck to paycheck, and you're in debt up to your ears, and your kids are learning things at school that are mind-boggling. They don't know, even know if they're a male or female. And on I could go, what's happening in the world today. And I think to myself, why aren't people getting saved? I mean, you can't look at me, but I look at you and say, you're normal. I would love to be like you. I would love to have the joy of Christ in my life. I would love to have that hope. But people look at you and they look at me and say, you're just weird. I don't understand it, but the God of this world has blinded their eyes so they can't see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you wondered why it's so hard? The Bible says, tells us in the last days, and I believe these are the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. I think people are more blinded to the gospel today than they were when I started the ministry 45 years ago. Boy, it was so much easier to lead somebody to Christ 40 years ago than it is today. Why? Because the gospel's changed? No. Because God's changed? No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I think Satan is out more today to blind the minds of the unbelievers. That's why Paul says here in this passage, he says, lest the tempter, Satan, has tempted you. The first thing he tries to do is blind you so you can't see the truth. You can't see the light of the glorious gospel. But then the second thing he does, if he can't do that, and somebody his second assault is to destroy someone's initial interest in the gospel. Somebody shows an interest in the gospel, but Jesus laid this out. Now let me give you this real quickly. I know my time is fleeting by. But I think this is such good stuff. Remember when he used the parable of the sower went out to sow, the farmer went out to sow, and he first threw it out and it landed on the wayward path, the path everybody walked on, and the birds just came and took that. It didn't have a chance. But then some of the seed landed on the rocky ground. But what it's talking about, the shale or the rocks that are below and the dirt, some of the grain took root. And they received it with joy, the Bible says. But then the sun came up and the heat came. They couldn't get the roots past the rock. And what happened to the, it just shriveled up and died. That's Satan. That's exactly what Satan's doing. There's some people who are saying, man, that church is, that's pretty awesome. The gospel, it's pretty cool. But they never plant that root. You know, some fell on the thorny ground. The cares of this life destroyed them. That's Satan at work, folks. That's Satan at work. Number one, he's blinded the world, so it's more difficult than ever before. But number two, if the gospel is going forth and somebody actually shows an interest in it, that's when Satan hits it hard. Then his third attack, real quickly, if he can't stop them from embracing the gospel, he strives to weaken their faith. You know, he'll bring somebody that'll say something that offends them. The pastor will say something that offends them. Somebody will do something and it'll offend them. They heard something on the radio that that he was wrong. And they began to wander away. But you know, in that illustration, you know, let me give you the verse. It says, be careful, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But you know, the Thessalonica church was the church that the seed fell on good ground. But Paul doesn't know this yet. He's concerned because he loves his church. And I guess the question for you, because I was away from this church for a week. One thing I wrote down is how much I love this church. I begin to understand what Paul was saying. How much we need to love each other. That we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ together to see the blessing of God, to see the work of God. Paul had a heartbeat for these folks. So he sent Timothy, and we've already talked about it, so you know the outcome, but I'll give you that next week. He sent Timothy, and Timothy returned with a report. He loved this church. I guess I asked you the question that I asked myself last week being gone. Made me realize, you know, sometimes you don't realize what you have until what? Until it's gone or you don't have it anymore. If I lost this church, I'd really realize how precious you are to me. How much I need you. It's not until it's gone. We need to love one another. We need to have the same kind of love for Faith Baptist Church that Paul had for the church of Thessalonica. You know what? He was away. I don't know. Probably 6 months he was away. He didn't know. Wait till we get to the prayer that he prayed for this church. It's phenomenal. The heartbeat, Apostle Paul. I ask you that question, do we have that heartbeat? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Boy, time just flies by, folks. I love the Word of God, and I hope you do.